In Gauteng and the Western Cape, this is Classic Business.
Well, if you're ever feeling just a little despondent about the future of South Africa, then I advise you spend some time with our entrepreneurs. I had the great pleasure of spending time with quite a few of the cream of the crop at last week's inaugural South African Venture Capital and Private Equity Association's awards, and I left feeling more than just a little inspired. Ferial Hafaji delivered a keynote speaking of hope during this time, and I might add to that optimism even, that our challenges are actually our biggest opportunities. I think that's certainly an approach that one Steve Jobs would have agreed with. Well, I've got two of the winners from last week on the line. Firstly, Ayesha Pandor, the co-founder and CEO of SweepSouth, who along with her team at SweepSouth is using tech to uplift and empower women in the most vulnerable industry in South Africa, that of domestic workers. Evening, Ayesha, and congrats on winning the SME category.
Thanks, Michael, and thank you for the congratulations. It was a really nice surprise for myself and the team.
Well, they're definitely well-earned there. And also on the line, I've got Vumatel Chief Financial Officer, Kobus Viljoen, who, for his sins, is a former investment banker. Kobus, Vumatel, I'm sure we've all experienced as the firm digging up our pavements to bring us faster internet and hopefully putting them back in exactly the same state that they found them in. Well done on winning the medium-sized category.
Thanks very much, Michael. We were very excited, as you probably saw on the evening.
Absolutely. Now, Ayesha, let's start with you. I mean, you were actually the first person in UCT's history to get capped from two different faculties on the same day, I believe. You've got a PhD in human genetics, a diploma in business management. And I think considering that your mom is the Minister of Higher Education, one can't be too surprised that you have an inquiring mind. Tell us a little bit more about your formative years before a life of entrepreneurship.
I certainly didn't feel like growing up I was destined to be an entrepreneur. You know, in my youth, it wasn't the sort of career that one aspired to. Education was very important, and then having a kind of vocational career. And so I definitely thought that I was going to go into law or one of the sciences, which led me to study it for a PhD in human genetics. But I think one thing that was very strong within my childhood was the idea of impact and doing something that's impactful on the environment that you're in. And for my parents, that meant, you know, being anti-apartheid activists and post-apartheid for myself. And part of the reason why I left academia and employment is, you know, thinking about the impact that I was going to have on South Africa and on the challenges that we faced. And, you know, the challenges were very different to my parents' challenges. You know, we faced things like unemployment, you know, slow economic growth, lack of quality education, and I felt like I should be directing my education and skills and talents and potential towards trying to help solve those things, which led me into entrepreneurship.
And hence my comments earlier about being inspired, because I think in South Africa what we do have for the impact entrepreneur, for the social entrepreneur, as they've been called. I just call them entrepreneurs because at the end of the day, you're solving for a particular challenge in society. That's what good entrepreneurs do. And we have a plethora of those. So we have a plethora of opportunity. Now, domestic work, it's one of those sectors. I think it stirs fierce emotion in South Africa. Ayesha, women who raise sort of the middle classes on their back, so to speak, for many years were exploited from a wage perspective, from a working condition perspective. And in the last 23, 24 odd years, not an awful lot has changed. And I'm sure you didn't need any reminding of that with your background. But what actually led you to focus on this area of social impact?
I think it's sort of the first, you know, kind of idea for SweepSouth from my co-founder, who's my husband and myself. So he's our CTO. He's largely developed the platform before we had our first developers join as employees. But, you know, the idea came as I think a lot of good ideas come out of personal need. We were looking for someone to help us in the lead up to the December holidays when our help at home was going to be away. And in searching for someone as a temporary replacement, we realize the inefficiencies that exist. So we're, you know, millennials and look at things in terms of technology, and we just experienced Uber in San Francisco, before founding Sweet South, and we saw the inefficiencies that existed in the industry. And I think those inefficiencies, coupled with our apartheid legacy, is actually what leads to people being paid badly. You know, when you need a lot of people to kind of work on spreadsheets and, you know, and in notebooks to try and organize scheduling, for example, you have to cut as big a margin as you can as a as an agency or a business, and that margin gets squeezed out of domestic workers' wages. And so our idea was to try and build technology that connects the two sides together and that does it efficiently through, you know, mathematical algorithms, does the matching, as opposed to someone trying to work on, you know, a spreadsheet or a notebook to do that.
Yeah.
And in doing so, is able to make sure that people earn more. And I think through our early experiences with domestic workers and interviewing and speaking to domestic workers who joined the platform, we also realized that it was our responsibility to also start to look at things like, you know, outside of pay. And we pay, you know, around double South Africa's minimum wage, which I always say is a bad benchmark for domestic workers. You know, families should be paying far above that if they're able to. But, you know, we realized that there was a lot more that we could do through the platform and as the platform scaled.
And that's what excites me, because one sees what you're doing currently, and it really is innovative. It's on demand. It's all of those things. But the potential in this to be so much more than that is really exciting. But I don't want to get ahead of that just yet, Aisha. Kobus, Vumatel is almost another side of this equation, because you've come a long way from a Parkhurst project. And you, as I referenced earlier, were with Investec before joining Vumatel back in 2015. And you're helping bring fiber to the home, which is an important part of this whole app on demand economy. What attracted you to the business back then, when, let's face it, it wasn't growing at the rates we're seeing it growing now? It was still very much a potential business based in one suburb.
Yes, Michael, I think at the time we were looking for technology investments, and what Vumatel presented to Investec was a technology investment, but backed by an infrastructure plate. So it's more infrastructure plate than technology, but the technology was future-proof. And I think that was the one thing that that clinched it for us. Fiber to the home, nobody was prepared to solve it. As you know from the Parkhurst days, that Telkom was trying to sweat their copper infrastructure for longer than they probably should have. And that opened the door for a Vumatel to come and do Parkhurst and Greenside. And after our founders, Neil and Joe, completed those two, Investec, obviously as a infrastructure play, it is very capital hungry. I mean, up between 2015 and today, we've spent 5 billion rand on infrastructure. So it needed a big partner with deep pockets. And luckily for us at Investec at the time, they partnered with us to take the next step.
And it's so interesting, if we look at it from through the lens of private equity, and how initially we saw the funding of the business become more established over time, the use of Vantage Capital's MES funding and the different layers of funding. Very interesting to see how that evolved. And obviously, as you mentioned, telecoms requires scale. It requires access to capital and to be very efficient from that perspective. That said, where are you today in terms of the life cycle of fiber to the home? There's a lot of talk around consolidation in the industry. Are we there yet?
Yes, I mean, I think we've started the consolidation already, in that in 2016 we took over Fiberwood, which was our major competitor in Johannesburg. In 2017 we bought a small fiber business in Durban to give us a starting point in the KZN market. And we also launched Vumatel in Cape Town, which is building our Cape Town network. And then also late in 2017, we bought the fiber to the home assets of Link Africa, which had some interesting assets, Dane Fern and Forest Gardens in Johannesburg. So just to complete our Joburg network. So that consolidation has started. What has now happened is that the the ones that are left over, and I think if you ask Neil Schoeman, our founder, if you discuss this question of scale with him, he will always tell you that this business is like walking through a desert, you know, if you to an oasis. And if you don't walk fast enough, you will die of thirst. So you have to get to scale very, very quickly. Where we've got, there's a lot of smaller players left in the market, but the integration for us, given the scale that we've got, it's almost the same. It will take us the same time to build that some of the smaller players. It will take us a month to 6 weeks to build the network, and it will take us a lot longer and a lot more problems to integrate the network into our network. So, yes, there is consolidation opportunities, but I think the consolidation has almost happened.
Ayesha, back to the potential that we see with Sweep South. So here's this app that is connecting those looking for domestic workers on demand with the domestic workers that you vet and screen through the app. But I see you've also started providing things like free life and disability cover to domestic workers who joined your platform. So it has the potential not only to deepen access to markets for those looking for work, but also to deepen sort of financial inclusion under that broad rubric.
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. And this is, you know, I was kind of alluding to the three big challenges that we face in South Africa. And I think, you know, domestic work is such a huge industry and such a core industry within the country. And I don't think the industry itself is problematic. It's the practices around the industry, for better or worse. You know, the fact is that South Africa has a lot of domestic workers. And so our aim is to use our technology to try and address some of the other issues and the other challenges that we face. And so we started with unemployment and started with a big group of people, domestic workers. There are over a million registered in the country. We started to try and tackle financial inclusivity, access to education. So I think, you know, technology and tech platforms like Sweep South are great because they're a vehicle that you can use to give access to many more things. And so we started with life and disability insurance, and that is through data that we collected, which suggested that many of the women working on our platform have funeral policies, for example, but although they have many dependents and many are single mothers, 70% are single mothers, there isn't any plan for, you know, after, if anything, you know, bad should happen to them afterwards, what happens to the family. And so we introduced free life and disability insurance, and we were able to do that through the scale of the platform. And the next step is to start looking at education and introducing education through the platform. We also offer low-cost banking to domestic workers who join the platform with FNB, who are one of our partners. And so, yeah, we really are trying to build an ecosystem. It's not just about domestic work, and it's certainly we're not just an on-demand platform, so we have customers who use us regularly. But it's certainly about, you know, trying to, you know, broaden the ecosystem and kind of widen this ecosystem of impact that we can create.
Wonderful story, Ayesha. What have you learned along the way? I see reading through your journey so far that you've obviously had some teething problems. You started out as a web-based platform before designing for app first, despite the fact that smartphone in our hands is probably the most powerful thing in the world. What did that teach you?
Well, I mean, we made a conscious decision to start web first. I think, and you know, this is one of the benefits of having a highly technical co-founder, is that, you know, people do assume that app is the easier way to go, and it certainly is easy from a distribution and kind of repeat usage point of view. But when we were starting out, there wasn't anything like Sweep South that existed in South Africa or even on the continent. And so designing it web first was a way for us to be able to change and iterate very, very quickly. In the early days, we were changing the platform from a code point of view multiple times a day. You know, so you find different versions of Sweep South being released multiple times in a day, and you can't necessarily do that with an app where you have to go through the app stores. So that was definitely a conscious decision we made. But, you know, some other things that we faced in the early days were, you know, just the financial pressure behind starting a business, and, you know, ended up selling the house and the cars and everything. We're just starting 4.5 years later to kind of get back on our feet. But, you know, really giving up everything for the business. And then, funding has always been a challenge And I think, you know, will be a challenge for tech businesses as the ecosystem matures. And then working in the industry is also always going to be difficult because you have an industry that has so much history and you're a four-year-old business that's trying to tackle that.
Well, sometimes that's your biggest advantage, Aisha, that kind of flexibility. But I do understand what you're saying there. Kobus, just as we wrap up here, what I really appreciated about last week's awards was the sense of seeing opportunity amidst all the doom and gloom and the chaos. That is South Africa after, let's face it, just over 10 years, if not more, of poor governance. What do you see the environment like for entrepreneurs in South Africa over the next 10?
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic environment. There is, as you say, with chaos comes opportunity, where there's every entrepreneur will tell you that he's solving a problem. That's how entrepreneurs start. And we've certainly got plenty of problems to be solved. And I think it doesn't matter whether you're big or small, the opportunity, and whether it's big business that needs capital or scale, or the smaller businesses, somebody, there's something for everybody.
And
so I think I'm very positive about the opportunity for entrepreneurs.
And it just gets better the more connected we become. So thanks for playing your part in that. And Aisha, thank you very much for sharing your journey so far in a very short space of time. I think we managed to get through quite a bit. That was Aisha Pandor, the co-founder and CEO of Sweep South, who was joined lastly there by Vumatel CFO Kobus Viljoen, two of the winners from the inaugural SAVCO Awards, which were hosted last week. Well, Sylvia A is up next in the lounge for our Cape Town listeners, and in Gauteng, the world's most beautiful music in the company of Carolyn Steyn, who's rapidly approaching 150 shows with her classic cocktail hour and 150 really good ones. Till tomorrow, good night.